This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas. KUAF is supported by Arcom Printing, located on the hillside just east of the Township and College intersection in Fayetteville. Arcom Printing provides printing, copying, and digital output services. ArcomPrinting.com or 444-7711. The Rogers Historical Museum presents Hogwild, our area's love affair with the pig, on exhibit now through August 9th. This exhibit features the museum's collection and private collections reflecting the broad appeal of the pig in Arkansas, from farming, sausage making, art, and razorback memorabilia. Located in historic downtown Rogers, 621-1154, or rogersarkansas.com/museum for more information. Ahead, upgrades to a nearly decade-old program are designed to more efficiently connect consumers with local farmers. Plus, the deadline to sign up for health care under the Affordable Care Act is on the horizon. We learn about the consequences of failing to do so. But first, the Bella Vista City Council tonight will consider purchasing just more than 4 acres of property on Highway 279 for construction of the city's fourth fire station. The congregation of the Village Bible Free Evangelical Church has approved the city's offer of purchasing the land at a cost of $40,000 an acre, provided the city council approves the sale. Frank Anderson, mayor of Bella Vista, says that the need for a fourth fire station has become apparent.
We're getting to the point as a city where we're making about 2,500 runs per year, and about 65 or 70% of those runs, most of those EMS or ambulance type runs, are coming out of our central fire station. So we're finding out that about almost as much as half the time, we have no one manning the central fire station because they're out on a call. And they're going to this area fairly consistently where we're attempting to put this new station. So there's an awful lot of traffic that way.
Anderson says that if the city council approves the land buy, the new fire station would help the city's fire department respond to calls within the desired 3 to 5 minute time frame, leading to better overall fire and emergency medical service response in the city. But he says that it's not yet clear what impact a fourth fire station would have on the city's ISO rating, which in turn affects home insurance rates paid by city residents.
There's so many things that go into that ISO rating. It will definitely help. Like I say, it will cut down travel time to some areas that are right now taking us 7 or 8 minutes to get to normally. So it will help from that standpoint. Obviously, we'll add more firefighters. That helps with the ISO rating. It doesn't do anything for water pressure or fire hydrants or water availability, which also have a lot to do with the ISO rating. So you can't tell for sure what the impact would be.
However, Anderson says that the proposed fire station would at least help the city maintain its current insurance rating. The Bella Vista City Council meets at 6:30 tonight at the Bella Vista Community Television Station, located at 1801 Forest Hills Boulevard. At the Governor's Mansion Friday, four of the state's more prominent legislators recalled and analyzed, for the Political Animals Club, some of the dilemmas over amending the private option in order to gain enough votes for it to pass during this year's fiscal session. The legislators were in agreement that their peers exhibited remarkable civility and capacity for solutions, but some compromises stood out. Senator Linda Chesterfield of Little Rock spoke critically about an amendment removing funding for non-emergency transportation.
We have many families that have a car that has to act as the conduit for 2, 3, 4, 5 people. And at the end of the day, people don't have that travel accessibility for health care. And that's why I did not like it. I still don't like it. But the question is, do you give up everything because of the one thing?
Democratic Minority Leader Greg Letting of Fayetteville delved further, saying the removal of transportation funding was the most contentious compromise for his caucus, raising concern that the amendment might cost votes for the private option. Meanwhile, speaking after the meeting, Republican Jeremy Gillum, who voted for the private option and is the newly elected House Speaker-designate, said he isn't worried about members in subsequent years withholding votes in exchange for unpopular compromises.
I think they're going to bring ideas to the table, but they've all shown, tremendous character, and I think Senator Sanders commented on that, you know, that they're interested in the policy and they're interested in doing what's best for the state, and I firmly believe that.
But the four lawmakers, including Republican Senator David Sanders of West Little Rock, did argue that the private option presents a platform for positive alterations with widespread support. The Arkansas Energy Office has granted $400,000 each to two fueling stations in the state to install compressed natural gas equipment in order to provide public access to the fuel. One of those stations is the Come and Go on Robinson Avenue in Springdale. The Energy Office is a division of the Arkansas Economic Development Commission, and money being awarded for CNG efforts comes from the state's Gaseous Fuels Rebate Program. Grant Tenniel, director of the AEDC, said that the rebates provide one more way to make use of alternative fuels an option for Arkansans. The CNG pumps are expected to be up and running by the end of this year. The University of Arkansas System Board of Directors met for 2 days last week on the UA Fort Smith campus. On the final day of the meeting Friday, the board tended to several matters of business, such as approving several new degree programs, and, according to the City Wire, the board unanimously renewed the system's ban on firearms for all 17 campuses in the UA system. After Act 226 passed the Arkansas legislature in 2013, boards of directors of state universities must expressly disallow campus faculty to carry concealed handguns on campuses. The UA board reportedly passed its renewal of the gun ban without objection. The Razorback baseball team had better fortunes at Baum Stadium during the second weekend of conference play. After losing a 17-9 decision Friday against Alabama, the Razorbacks won Saturday afternoon with a final score of 2-1 and shut out Alabama yesterday with a final score of 1-0. After the three-game set, Arkansas is 13-8 on the season and 3-3 in Southeastern Conference play. The Razorbacks return to Baum Stadium tomorrow afternoon for a doubleheader against Mississippi Valley State. The John Brown University women's basketball team will continue to play in the NAIA National Championship Tournament tonight in Frankfort, Kentucky. JBU earned a spot in the national semifinals with a furious comeback over La Jolla Saturday. JBU trailed by 18 points with under 8 minutes to play in that game, but won 65-63. Tonight, JBU faces Oklahoma City University at 5 Central Time. The winner advances to tomorrow's national championship game. The JBU game can be seen live at NAIA.org. The Arkansas men's basketball team will play California tonight in the second round of the NIT tournament. Cal beat Arkansas in November in a game played in Hawaii. Tip-off tonight is at 10 o'clock Central. Forecast calls for partly cloudy skies tonight with overnight lows from 26 in northwest Arkansas to 31 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny with highs from 49 to 56. Tomorrow evening, mostly clear with overnight lows from 26 to 29. This is Ozarks at Large. The deadline for open enrollment for health insurance coverage under the Affordable Care Act is next Monday, March 31st. And for those qualified to enroll and don't, they could end up paying a hefty penalty, depending on their tax bracket. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
The penalty is referred to as an individual shared responsibility payment because, in theory, if everyone pays in, insurance for everyone will be more affordable. Cynthia Crone, Deputy Insurance Commissioner for the state of Arkansas, is overseeing the Affordable Care Act launch and utilization here. She says Arkansans who don't have any health coverage will be fined in one of two ways.
Yes, the tax penalty is paid once a year when you file your taxes for the year before. But it's figured on the number of months that you were not covered. And if you're covered even one day of the month, you're considered covered that month. So if you have more than three consecutive months not covered, then you will owe a tax penalty. and that is paid once a month but figured on a monthly rate, and it, according to your income, it could be as low as $95 an adult and half of that for each child in the family. But by year three, it's $695 per adult and half of that for each child, or 1 to 2.5% of your entire family income, which would be considerably higher than that. So the tax fee is whatever is higher, the flat rate or the 1 to 2.5% of the family income. So it's an incentive that as that penalty gets higher, people would be more encouraged to get coverage.
Low-income and working poor receive premium financial assistance under the Affordable Care Act through generous federal tax credits. For example, monthly premiums for someone earning around $17,000 a year would run about $60 a month. A family of four earning $35,000 would expect to pay around $120 a month. Certain poverty-level individuals can enroll in this state's expanded Medicaid program, known as the private option. So all Americans under this new health care law must have what's referred to as minimal essential coverage, either through the new marketplace, through employer plans, Medicaid, Medicare, our kids, or the VA, or we'll have to pay a penalty. When consumers visit the Arkansas Health Insurance Marketplace to purchase coverage online at arhealthconnector.org, they'll see a menu of plans and providers. Again, Deputy Insurance Commissioner Cynthia Crone.
Well, the insurance companies that have qualified health plans in the marketplace are Arkansas Health and Wellness Solutions, doing business as Ambetter, Arkansas Blue Cross Blue Shield, Arkansas Blue Cross Blue Shield Multi-State Plan, and QualChoice of Arkansas.
Certain Arkansans are exempt from paying any fines if they don't sign up by March 31st.
Yeah, so the general exemptions are that you were only insured or uninsured for less than 3 months in the year, your coverage would cost you more than 8%, or you were too low income to file a tax return. Now, those things generally would exempt you, as well as being a Native American, as well as being incarcerated or not lawfully present, those types of things.
Hardship exemptions are also extended to those who are, for example, homeless, facing foreclosure, had a death in the family, or suffered a catastrophic flood or fire. As of March 11th, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, 4.2 million Americans have enrolled in Obamacare. And according to data provided by the Arkansas Insurance Department, more than 58,000 have successfully enrolled on the Arkansas marketplace. Of those, 38,500 were found eligible for federal premium assistance. Of the three types of plans available, a large majority are choosing silver, then bronze, then gold, the most costly with the lowest deductible. A majority of those enrolling are women, 56%, and the largest age group signing up are older, 55 to 64, followed by 18 to 34-year-olds. As for private option enrollment, Arkansas's expanded Medicaid program, funded by federal Medicaid dollars, of 208,000 who applied as of March 8th, nearly two-thirds were deemed eligible. And according to the Arkansas Department of Human Services, applications have steadily risen, even when the program faced elimination during the state's legislative fiscal session this winter. But legislators did manage to gut two key components of the health insurance program in Arkansas.
Most recently, in the Insurance Department Appropriation Bill, there was special language added to stop any kind of promotion of enrollment or advertising or really any kind of enrollment activities, including the GUIDE program beginning July 1.
The funding starting this summer, a program which had hired hundreds of in-person assister insurance guides deployed across the state last fall to help enroll people in person for free.
The advertising dollars and the guide dollars were all federal dollars, but it was felt that, one, we didn't want to spend taxpayers' money. I think that was a consideration of the legislature. And secondly, while they were seeing how this all was going to work, they were not wanting to promote even more enrollment.
And with no advertising allowed, the Arkansas Surgeon General, Dr. Joe Thompson, is reaching out to an estimated 200,000 Arkansans who've yet to enroll, on places like YouTube.
There are four things that you're going to need. Your Social Security number. If you're a legal immigrant, it would be your document number. Employer and income information, such as pay stubs, W-2 forms, or wage and tax statements. Information about any job-related health insurance available to your family members. And finally, the policy numbers if someone is on health insurance.
And leading up to the March 31st midnight deadline, the State Insurance Department and the Arkansas Department of Human Services, which is managing the private option, expect a surge of enrollment. Cynthia Crone.
People procrastinate, they study, they put it off as long as they can. And so we do anticipate a lot of activity and maybe delays in that website again the last week. So I would encourage people considering plan choice to consider going right away to do that.
To beat the crowd, log on to arhealthconnector.org or visit your local public health center to locate your nearest IPA guide. If enrolled by March 31st, coverage begins May 1st. The next open enrollment starts November 15th, ending February 15th, 2015. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
You have 7 days to enroll on the state marketplace for health care insurance. For more information, visit arhealthconnector.org. Johnny Cash is perhaps the most famous of Arkansas musicians. However, in the 1940s, Louis Jordan had 18 number one hits.
You really think you'd get sick of the song after a certain point, or America would get tired of that. But, you know, his songs would not just be number one, but number one for weeks and weeks. And so they would permeate, you know, Caledonia, what makes your big head so hard? People know the songs, Baby, It's Cold Outside, and... Ain't nobody here but us chickens, Choo 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 Boogie. These are all songs that are in commercials and movies. So the music lives on, but the name has somehow slipped through the cracks.
In just over 20 minutes on Ozarks at Large, we hear from Stephen Cook, radio host and author of a new biography on Louis Jordan. Cook would like to shine a bit more light on the musician's name. That's just ahead on Ozarks at Large.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Next time on Here and Now, a Fulbright fellow in India woke up on a train platform and didn't know who he was.
I believed that I was a pharmaceutical tourist, and I was just doing heroin throughout India with this woman named Christina, whose face I can picture right now, but who never existed.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Stay tuned to KUAF. That program begins next after Ozarks at Large on 91.3 FM.
As the Arkansas jobless rate continues to hover in uncomfortable territory, there is a push to raise the state's minimum wage and increase workforce programs. Roby Brock with Talk Business Arkansas has a look back at business and politics news of the last week.
Arkansas's jobless rate fell to 7.3% in January, 0.1% lower than December, and 0.2% lower than 1 year ago. Arkansas's jobless rate remained above 7% for the 60th consecutive month. That's 5 years, when the state and nation were roiling from the near economic collapse of the Great Recession. Arkansas Economic Development Commission Director Grant Tenniel says he is supportive of efforts to raise the state minimum wage to $8.50 per hour, calling it a jobs creator. Tenniel said he signed a petition to include on the November ballot a measure to raise the state's minimum wage from $6.25 per hour to $8.50 over a three-year period. GOP gubernatorial candidate Asa Hutchinson proposed creating regional workforce education councils to better assess worker needs for employers and to streamline funding for workforce education in Arkansas. The plan calls for 8 workforce groups that would require high schools, 2-year colleges, and local employers to assess jobs needs across their regions and to coordinate a plan of action for educating potential workers for those available jobs. The Arkansas House and Senate overrode a line item veto of a bill that would give a tax break to the natural gas drilling industry. The House of Representatives voted 55-41 to override the governor's veto. The Senate vote was 26-7. Last week, the governor had invoked the line item veto for Section 16 of House Bill 1048, which allowed for an exemption from the gross receipts tax for certain machinery and equipment used in manufacturing, as well as sand and other proppants used in oil or gas drilling. Also, the Arkansas House of Representatives chose Representative Jeremy Gillum from Judsonia as its House Speaker Designate for the 2015 General Assembly. The Arkansas Energy Office announced two $400,000 rebates that will be provided to fueling station operators in Springdale and West Memphis. The station operators will be awarded the funds through the Gaseous Fuels Rebate Program and will install compressed natural gas equipment to provide public access to the alternative motor fuel. The University of Arkansas Board of Trustees approved the creation of the UA System eVersity, an online university dedicated to serving adult students. At a meeting in Fort Smith on Thursday, the board endorsed the proposal that will seek to attract adult students who are currently turning to for-profit online institutions and those adults who have completed some college but not earned a degree. I'm Roby Brock, and that is your Talk Business and Politics update.
Support for Talk Business and Politics with Roby Brock on Ozarks at Large comes from Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And AT&T, challenging drivers to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. Interest in local foods continues to rise as we enter this spring growing season. In response, the Arkansas Agriculture Department, in partnership with gardening expert P. Allen Smith, has revamped its nearly decade-old Arkansas Grown program in the hopes of developing awareness and increasing its use. It's a voluntary program to help consumers readily identify locally grown foods. Anyone who is producing foods in Arkansas can sign up for free on the website to list where they grow and what they grow in order to bring together producers, retailers, restaurants, and consumers. That's according to Deputy Secretary of the Arkansas Agriculture Department, Cynthia Edwards. I spoke with her yesterday.
We have a lot of restaurants and retailers who want to, you know, provide locally grown foods to their customers, and they need to know who these producers are. And by the same token, the producers need to know which retailers are interested in selling that type of product. And then now they can go on our website and they can select one of three options. Option C is a free option, and then option A and B do have a fee, and they get more promotional benefits with those two options.
Let's say I'm a farmer and I have zucchini and squash, among other things.
Right.
So I can just go and choose option C and say, you know, I have a farm in Elkins, Arkansas.
That's right. You get the right to use the Arkansas Grown logo. And once you submit your information to our website and you're approved, then you can have the right to use the Arkansas Grown logo. We provide you a free sign and some free stickers, and then you are listed there. And then hopefully, we have a mobile app that'll be coming out in April, and we have a directory that'll be published. We're working on that. It's the first time we've done a directory. That'll be out sometime in May, and listing folks who are in Arkansas Grown program in that directory, and that's going to be distributed through farmers markets and other sites out there. And so hopefully everybody can kind of use these different tools to connect with each other.
I'm reversing the situation now. So I'm a consumer. Will it help if I'm traveling? Like maybe I'm going down south to rent a cabin in Hot Springs. And let's say I'm going to be there for an extended weekend. I can upload this app and put in my location. And will it connect me perhaps with a farmer's market in Hot Springs?
Yes, it will. And our website also has a map that you can type in a location. It'll show you on the map where the different sites are located as well.
Okay. How has the program grown since it first started?
We had started out from scratch, and we've had about 380 people on there for the last 4 or 5 years. But since we've had this new program, we were partnering with P. Allen Smith to promote the program and those producers who choose option A in particular. We have already seen about a 20% increase already in this past few months. So we're really excited about that. This is our first big marketing effort of the program out there, and we wanted to bring more benefits to those who've signed up for it. And so far, it's been excellent. P. Allen Smith is promoting us on through his social media sites. We've had some excellent newspaper coverage, radio coverage, and it seems to be working. The word's getting out.
Agriculture is a pretty big business in Arkansas.
It's a very big business.
What is the importance of residents buying local foods?
Well, it's several things. Agriculture is a $17 billion business to Arkansas. And we have, and a lot of people think of agriculture as big row crop agriculture in Arkansas, and that is certainly the majority of it. But we do have a lot of smaller acreage producers who can't or don't want to go into big production agriculture. But they have enough acreage where they can grow specialty crops. And we have the climate for a lot of specialty crops here, so a lot of folks are getting into that. And the benefit to the economy is that it keeps those local food dollars in their local economy. The food travels less. It's an environmental saving, and the food's fresher when it gets to the consumer's table. And everybody's just more conscious of health and nutrition these days, and this just fits right into that niche.
Do we see a wide variety of produce and maybe poultry and things like that available?
We do, and it's growing every day. But we have a lot of farmers who are trying to extend the growing season with hoop houses on either end of the season. That's been very successful. The University of Arkansas has done some research on that, and a lot of farmers are taking advantage of that. There's funding through NRCS programs that helps farmers cost share the cost of those facilities. But we have a wide variety of fruits and vegetables grown in this state, and we're seeing more meat production on a local level like that. We have a lot of chicken. We have a lot of people raising sheep. Lamb is a big popular meat right now that people the demand is increasing for. So we're really excited about it.
Well, and the idea is that people can really take pride in having this Arkansas Grown sticker and this, being a part of Arkansas Grown.
Absolutely. We certainly hope that's the case. We have excellent producers in this state, and we want people to know they're out there and that the consumer can make an informed choice on how they spend their food dollar.
Cynthia Edwards is Deputy Secretary for the Arkansas Agriculture Department. For more information or to register with the Arkansas Grown program, visit arkansasgrown.org. This is Ozarks at Large.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansas Songs.
If you just ain't got nobody, since you gone and lost your head, rigor mortis will set in, daddy, jack you dead.
Rhythm and blues pioneer Louis Jordan of Brinkley, Arkansas, had 55 top 10 hits over the span of the 1940s. Both his sales figures and his influence loom large. Born July 8, 1908, 1946 was a very good year for Mr. Jordan. Some of his biggest songs, Let the Good Times Roll, Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens, and Jack You're Dead, Heard Here, were cut. But Louis Jordan's biggest single that year, or ever, was Choo Choo Chaboogie, recorded in January 1946. Milt Gabler, Jordan's longtime producer at his longtime label, Decca Records, co-wrote and brought the song to Jordan. The other writers were Denver Darling and Vaughn Horton, who performed country and western music on WNEW in New York. Louis Jordan, who with his Timpani Five played their own brand of sophisticated pre-rock, pre-R&B music in the face of the big band era, reportedly heard the song and said, "Leave the chords in the blues vein and we'll see what we can do with it." In March 1947, Louis Jordan was presented his first ever gold record for sales of Choo Choo Chaboogie, but several other of his songs were also approaching the million mark at the time. Less than a decade later, in 1956 and 1957, the Monroe County native was relegated to re-recording his old hits with Quincy Jones for Mercury Records to try to give his career traction with the rock and roll craze.
I'm headed for the station with a pack on my back. Tired of transportation in the back of a hack. I just love the rhythm of the clickety-clack. I hear the whistle blowing, see the smoke from the stack. I pal around with Democratic fellas named Mac. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chibuggy, woo-woo. Woo-woo, chibuggy, choo-choo. Choo-choo, chibuggy, take me right back to the track, Jack.
In March 1960, Louis Jordan performed Choo 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 Boogie on the network Startime TV show, emceed by Ronald Reagan. In December 1962, in London, Jordan recorded the song again with the Chris Barber Band. Barber brought several American stars to Europe and specialized in Dixieland and skiffle-flavored jazz.
I'm a head for the station with a pack on my back. Tired of transportation in the back of a hack. I just love the rhythm of the clickety-clack and hear the whistle blow and see the smoke.
In 1946, Louis Jordan had four of the year's five top songs on what were then called the Race Records chart. Of these, two, Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens and Choo 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 Boogie, spent an incredible 35 combined weeks at the number one position that year. The influence of Choo 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 Boogie has gone on. Bill Haley and the Comets, who are also produced by Milt Gabler on Decca Records, have recorded it. So have Clifton Chenier, B.B. King, Foghat, and Gatemouth Brown. Bob Wills and Asleep at the Wheel, whose founder Ray Benson cites Louis Jordan as a major influence, made Choo 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 Boogie a concert and album staple. And they also returned the song to its country western roots. And of course, Louis Jordan's influence went on as well. Sammy Davis Jr. called him the original soul brother. Sonny Rollins called Louis Jordan a bridge between blues and jazz. Others we consider influential today, like Chuck Berry, B.B. King, and Ray Charles, were profoundly influenced by Louis Jordan, who died February 4, 1975. But it was James Brown who put it most succinctly. He was everything. From January 1946, a very good year for Louis Jordan of Brinkley, Arkansas, here's the million-selling number one hit, Choo 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 Boogie.
Heading for the station with a pack on my back. I'm tired of transportation in the back of a hack. I love to hear the rhythm of the clickety-clack and hear the lonesome whistle, see the smoke from the stack and pal around with Democratic fellas named Mac. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chibuggy, woo-woo, woo-woo, chibuggy, choo-choo, choo-choo, chibuggy. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Destination, but alas and alack, you need some compensation to get back in the black. You take a morning paper from the top of the stack and read the situations from the front to the back. The only job that's open needs a man with a knack, so put it right back in the rack, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chibuggy, woo-woo, woo-woo, chibuggy, choo-choo, choo-choo, chibuggy, take me right back to the track, Jack. Settle down by the railroad track, live the life of Riley in the beaten down shack. So when I hear a whistle, I can peep through the crack and watch the train a rolling when it's falling a jack. For I just love the rhythm of the clickety clack. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo choo, choo choo, chibuggy, woo woo, woo woo, chibuggy, choo choo, choo choo, chibuggy. Take me right back to the track.
Jordan of Monroe County with the million-selling number one hit, Choo 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 Boogie, from 1946. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. For more information, visit arkansongs.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. Arkansas native Louis Jordan was among the most famous entertainers of the 1940s. In a nine-year span from 1942 to 1951, he had 51 top 10 hits, including 18 number one songs. He has been recognized as one of the most influential American musicians of the 20th century. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987, put on a postage stamp, and the inspiration for the popular Broadway musical Five Guys Named Moe. But he's not the household name some think he should be, even in his home state. Stephen Cook wants to change that. Cook, the host and producer of the radio series Arkansongs, which we just heard and hear every Monday on Ozarks at Large. Cook is the author of the new book, Louis Jordan, Son of Arkansas, Father of R&B. He recently told Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums that he's been aware of Louis Jordan's music as long as he can remember.
Kyle, I don't know that there's been a time when I haven't been aware of him. You know, it's Louis Jordan's music is great for kids, and I grew up listening to Louis Jordan. My dad even says, you know, listening to Beans and Cornbread bouncing on his knee, you know, it's just such a great song, and it's, you know, it's always struck me. And then I grew up in the Delta also, so the family would drive through Brinkley, home of Louis Jordan, and I would wonder, where is the big statue to this musical great, even as a child, you know? And unfortunately, there was not only not a statue, but very little awareness, even in Brinkley, about Louis Jordan.
He was so popular and so innovative. And Arkansans are generally a type that if we know someone came from our state and achieved any kind of fame or recognition, we hold them up. And I think people who know about Louis Jordan do, but it still seems curious, as popular as he once was, not relatively speaking that long ago, that he isn't better known by more Arkansans.
Yeah, the Arkansasers really, you know, have disappointed me in that, because, you know, someone that's lived here for 6 months and then goes on to, you know, being a TV show, like you hear about it on Facebook or whatever. But yeah, it's still a mystery. But the bigger mystery is why he's not, you know, a household name along with the likes of the contemporaries of his, such as Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald, or, you know, even the people he influenced. You know, he should be on the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll, and he's such a forgotten figure. After, you know, he influenced the English language, Open the Door, Richard, Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens. These are popular catchphrases that went, you know, above and beyond the songs. You know, I knew people named Richard that they grew up and people were always telling them to open up the door. You know, they never knew why.
I met old Zeke standing on the corner the other day. That cat sure was booted with liquid.
He was what?
He was obnoxicated.
He was what?
He was inebriated.
He was what?
Well, he was just plain drunk.
Well, all right. He
sure was salty. Well, not to belabor the point, but he was known as King of the Jukebox.
Right, and he had, you know, his songs were not just, you know, just top tens. They were like, they would be number one for weeks. And weeks, you know, 36 weeks, you know, you really think you'd get sick of the song after a certain point, or America would get tired of that. But, you know, his songs would not just be number one, but number one for weeks and weeks. And so they would permeate, you know, Caledonia, What Makes Your Big Head So Hard. People know the songs, Baby It's Cold Outside, and Yeah, again, Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens, Choo 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 Boogie. These are all songs that are in commercials and movies. So the music lives on, but the name has somehow slipped through the cracks.
Up the barnyard with the graves of the cat. Out in the hen house up and stood. When he hollered, "Who's that?" This is what he heard. "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep and you bust in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all.
And going back to that title, the second half of the title, Father of R&B, because he was such a pioneer and innovator, do we have any clue where he developed this signature swing sound that he had?
Well, you know, the first thing is practice. You know, he grew up in a musical household and was playing music from a young age under the tutelage of his dad, you know, and he played in medicine shows, so he's a direct line from you know, the medicine shows in vaudeville to hip-hop today. But, you know, he worked in those as well as his dad did, and it was a strict musical regimen, and that's what he followed. And then during the big band era, he was the only person out there that was a smaller band, you know, but he was the most popular. And, you know, all these guys that were his competition had 30 or 40 pieces, and he had, you know, five or six. And so during the wartime, you know, I'm sure he saved that much more money on all the buses and all the instruments and everything you'd have to have. And there was the conventional wisdom that a small band couldn't fill these big dance halls. And they made it happen because they had the charisma and they had dance steps and had the tight moves and the songs. And they would always look sharp, and you knew when you saw the Timpani Five, you were going to get a show. And Louis Jordan was a consummate showman, and you'd think they were having the best time of anyone at the gig, the guys in the band.
He became a success throughout the country, was a success in New York. He was a success in L.A. Did he have what were his experiences like as an adult in the southern United States? We're still in the era of Jim Crow and even before that.
Well, it's kind of, again, there's so little conflict in the Louis Jordan story. He didn't smoke, he didn't drink, and he wasn't really into politics. He really just wanted to play music for the people. And so I, of course, touch on this in the book, you know, as much as possible. But, you know, Louis Armstrong had a huge outburst at, for example, the situation at Central High in 1957, the integration situation. Louis Armstrong, you know, gave very strongly worded statements about this, and Louis Jordan didn't say a word. But he did quietly pursue integration, and I think, you know, he was called an Uncle Tom during his time because perhaps of his vaudeville upbringing, and, you know, he would clown and mug to get his funny songs across, you know, and so at a certain point, the politics had changed to the point where I'm sure that was seen in many militant corners as buffoonish or cartoonish.
Did he ever have to deal with a problem because his songs were sometimes fun, because they were fast-paced and they wailed and they jumped? Did he ever have to deal with some people who thought his music wasn't serious?
That, Kyle, I think you've hit on a good point here. I really do think that he is a person. But not only his name has fallen through the cracks, his music sort of became its own thing and fell through its own cracks in spite of its innovation, that it was too pop and funny, you know, for jazz, even though everyone that was interested in jazz respected Louis Jordan's abilities on the saxophone. But it was not easily... Maybe it didn't translate well in time, but it wasn't it was not considered serious enough for jazz.
When I listen to Bill Haley in the Comets, I hear direct influence from Louis Jordan. Am I imagining that?
And this is in the book also that, Bill Haley was on the same label as Decca, had the same producer as Louis on Decca Records, name of Milt Gabler. And he's the one that helped craft Louis' sound. And then, ironically, about the time Louis was dumped from the Decca label after 15 years, that was when all this stuff was coming on. And so he told the Comets to play it like the Timpani Five. And you, like you say, you can hear that. You know, the backbeat's just a little more pronounced. You know, Louis Jordan did the shuffle, and they even did some Louis Jordan songs. But Burl Adams, who was Louis' manager, just called it an out-and-out steal.
No less talent than James Brown, Little Richard, Chuck Berry have said that he was a major influence on them. And maybe I'm stretching here, but when I hear rap and hip-hop, I think you can still draw the line back to Louis Jordan.
Well, the line would be direct, even if it was just from all the multiple samples of James Brown songs, because James Brown is one of the most effusive in his praise and influence from Louis Jordan, more than even B.B. King and Ray Charles and Chuck Berry. James Brown really has said the most about Louis Jordan, and most of this is in the book. But yeah, I think there is a direct line with that, and it starts with James Brown, but it's not just that. I think Louis would have been sampled more, except for he's not backbeat heavy. You know, again, his material would not necessarily sample well. You know, for the big beat. You know, because it was a shuffle. You know, it's great for rhyming across, and you can listen to Louis's rhymes, and they're just as rapid as anyone you wanted to throw out today. And I think, you know, guys, you know, like Busta Rhymes, some of these guys, whether they know it or not, I think, you know, really have a strong Louis Jordan influence going on.
Do you happen to know the last time he played in Arkansas, by any chance?
I know there must have been some times after this, but the last notable time, and this is kind of discussed in the book, was in 1957. Unfortunately, the timing was at during the Central High Crisis, and it was in September of 1957, and they had Louis Jordan Day scheduled in Brinkley, and he played a show for blacks and a show for whites. And this is his proximity to the state during that time, again, makes us wish that there had been a statement about that, you know. I'm sure we can actually infer what a person's thoughts would be
if someone
on that, you know. But so that was kind of it was really when Louis was still a pretty big deal, you know. But for him to come play Brinkley was a really big deal, and so that was kind of the last possibly notable time that we know he played in Arkansas.
If someone's hearing this and they're kind of hearing about Louis Jordan really for the first time, is there a specific collection or a specific set that you would suggest they buy?
Well, the easy part and the sad part is, like, you know, mostly what you're going to see or what a person would go find would be his classic hits. So if you see a Louis Jordan CD, just pick it up and you'll love it. But it'll probably be his classic material from the 1940s, because all the rest of it's a little bit, you know, it's not impossible to find, but it's just ubiquitous, the Decca material. So if you Google Louis Jordan, that's the stuff you're going to find is Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens, Choo 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 Boogie, Open the Door, Richard, all these great songs that are probably, you know, the Decca versions from the 1940s are. That's where you want to start anyway.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans.
Cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked Cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. Cornbread, you ain't straight. Beans. You better wake up or I'll gas you gate. Beans. Been in this pot since 2:30. Beans. Swelling and puffing and almost due.
I'll be ready. Name of the book is Louis Jordan, son of Arkansas, father of R&B. Stephen, thank you very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure, Kyle. Thank you so much.
Stephen Cook is the author of the new book, Louis Jordan, son of Arkansas, father of R&B. You can learn more about the book at historypress.net. Cook spoke with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums earlier this month.
Jazz is in the air every Friday and Saturday evening from 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. right here on KUAF 91.3 FM. From 10 to midnight, it's Shades of Jazz with yours truly, Robert Ginsberg. Daniel Estes takes you from midnight till 1 a.m. on Saturday morning with Goodnight Jazz, and it's Fred Hall's Swing Thing at midnight on Sundays. America's Music, Jazz, on your NPR station, KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, March 24th, 2014. I'm Christina Thomas, and with me now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Still encouraging you to throw responsibility to the winds and run away.
I wish.
This time to Memphis.
Okay.
Now, the reporter who did this story for What's Up and I had a disagreement, because if I was going to pick a museum in Memphis, I'd pick Graceland.
Oh, I've been there.
Not because I was a big Elvis fan, but just because it's fascinating. But she picked the Pink Palace, which is also really cool.
I have not been there.
It's a beautiful marble house. It was built in 1923 for the founder of Piggly Wiggly.
Oh.
And it's gorgeous. But after the stock market crash...
He lost it?
Yes, he did. And it became the Memphis Museum of Natural History and Industrial Arts. It also includes the Sharp Planetarium and an IMAX theater. And right now in the IMAX, it's Flights of Butterflies in 3D.
Oh, that sounds great.
Which would be beautiful. And then they have an exhibit called Race, Are We So Different? Which is an interactive look at the cultural perspective and history of race, which is also fascinating. And artifacts to support it, including shackles from the 1800s and a kit for the purpose of checking the racial purity of citizens in Nazi Germany. So this is a lesson for kids. While you're also in Memphis, you could see the Children's Museum of Memphis, much less serious. Science, play, Playscape Park, all kinds of fun. And you can find all of this information in What's Up online.
So did the reporters actually get to go to these places?
Most of the reporters picked cities that they had been to these places.
All right.
We didn't send them there.
All right. No spring break. Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. KUAF is supported by All My Treasures, a flea market and antique mall on Highway 16 East in Fayetteville. Serving interior designers, collectors, and dealers for 28 years with memorabilia, antiques, furniture, and more. Open 9 to 6 daily with art and furniture consignment now available. 575-0250 for more information. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Black Oak. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Christina Thomas. My colleagues Antoinette Grajeda and Kyle Kellums will be back tomorrow, Tuesday, for an all-new daily edition of Ozarks at Large. Until then, thank you so much for listening, and have a good Monday.